All right, let's start again. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When we think of the heart, a lot of times we picture vital organs that sustain our physical life. We think of the arteries pumping blood throughout our system and, you know, all to all the organs and things of that nature. But biblically, and in Scripture, the heart is a metaphor for our spiritual core, our emotions, our desires, our decisions, and our relationship with God. Everything that we do is impacted by the condition of our heart. In fact, Strong's Concordance, which now they have apps for everything out there that you can just click on, but Strong's Concordance mentions the heart 826 times, but never mentions the brain. Think of that. This shows the Bible's emphasis on the heart as the center of who we are as Christians, who we are as our walk with God, who we are. It's what it is. Our heart is what God speaks to and is what we harden when we resist His voice. So why does the heart matter? Why does the heart matter? The heart, in the Bible, it represents the center of our thoughts. It's actually who we are. It's the desires and our motives. I'll tell you something. If y'all have a heart to do something, you're going to do it.
That's the truth.
Amen. And it goes. It just doesn't go spiritually. It goes for everything. If my heart's desire is to take my wife on a vacation, I'm going to do everything I can to take my wife on vacation. Amen. So it's the will and the decision making. Our heart. It goes to our heart first before we do anything. It is who we are when nobody else is around. Now, I want you to think about that. You can put on all the masks in the world. You can act the best, like the best person that has ever walked the face of the earth, but this is who you truly are when you're by yourself, when you're alone, when nobody's watching. This is who you are, and that's what the heart represents. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says this. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things. The danger is not just sin. It's self-deception. Let me explain that. Our heart, and I just kind of mentioned, do you want me to tell you something? I'm a salesperson. Y'all know that. Not anymore, but I used to be. We are our own best salespeople. We can talk ourselves into literally anything. And that's our heart. If you want to sin, you can talk yourself into sin if you dwell on that sin long enough. It is us. It is who we are. It is our fleshly ways is to sell ourselves. Now, on the other side, we can also sell ourselves out of committing sin too by trusting in God and putting it in God's hands. So that's a two-way street. But we are our own best salesperson, no matter what. And I'll give you another example. If you go to buy a car and you have a budget, but you see a car that you just like just a little bit more, you start doing the math, don't you? Going, you know what? If I was just to work an extra hour at work, I could afford this car. But Jesus taught that our behavior flows from inward condition in Matthew 15, 18, and 19. Sin begins internally before it becomes visibly externally. That is why every morning we need to be asking God to cover us under the blood of the Lamb. We need to be asking Him to guide our footsteps. We need to be asking Him to make sure our hearts are right with Him. You have to walk in the full armor of God. If you look at the armor of God, and I was thinking about this while I was studying for this, if you look at the full armor of God, the biggest piece of armor is our breastplate, which covers our heart. Right. Which means most of the stuff that we're going to be shooting at us is going to be at our torso. In fact, they teach police officers and everything always shoot towards here, the mass. And we have to have the biggest armor of God to protect our hearts. So, Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep thy heart diligent, or keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So what is biblical self-awareness? Well, the definition of biblical self-awareness is recognizing our thoughts, motives, and attitudes. And I put attitudes in there because it tells a lot about us, don't it? You ever been around somebody who has a little bit of a salty attitude? How many can get a little salty on their attitude? I can. I ain't going to lie. I can get a little salty on my attitude. All right, this ain't no marriage class, so y'all. But it's comparing these thoughts, motives, and attitudes to God's Word. We have to line up with God's Word when it comes to our hearts. We can't do it on our own. How many have tried to do something on your own? It just never works. If I tried to overhaul the transmission on my car, whoo, boy, we're gonna have a big payday coming to the service station. You can't do this on your own. You have to let it line up with the Word of God, and allow the Holy Ghost to correct us and shape us. I was at a place yesterday. It is one of my best friends that is not in church. And I went to he invited us, my wife and I, to his birthday party. And we went in there, and it was a guy had owned a business. And this place had a lot of rowdiness. It didn't start off at first. And we went in there, and this guy is like family to me. He's like my brother. I love this guy dearly. Trying to get him to come to our church. And he says he's going to. I hope he does. But his mom is like she's like family to me. And I went in there, and we were sticking around. And I just looked at Stacy, and I said, we need to go. Because my spirit didn't feel right. I wasn't in the environment that I should be. And when you say, well, you're a Christian person, you should be able to handle that environment. But the Holy Ghost will correct you. And you will feel that in your heart. And I didn't feel right in that environment. Something was off. And I asked Stacy, I said, how do you feel? And she said, I feel like we need to go. And I said, absolutely. So we had to get out of there. And it wasn't because I don't love him. I love the guy dearly. But it was because you could feel spiritual things that we don't quite agree with going on there. And so we took off. But something that you have to look at is self-awareness is not self-condemnation. And as people, we will beat ourselves up. We will tear ourselves down. We can cause our own selves to become depressed and get anxiety. And mentally, we can tear ourselves down. And we can say, well, we're not good enough, so why even try? And you might say, well, how do you know that? Because I've done it. Me personally, I've done that. Listen, this is for me too, y'all. I'm not just up here blowing smoke. This is for me as well. So we become obsessed with failure. We say, well, because we've sinned so much and we've made so many mistakes, why keep doing it? Why keep going? Why keep examining my heart? Why do I even have self-awareness? Because I just keep falling and I just keep failing. Do you want me to tell you something? I'm going to give y'all an epiphany, all right? I'm going to tell y'all something. Do you want me to tell you why you do it? Because you're people. And we all do it. And we all make mistakes. And we all fall. But it's who gets back up. It's who keeps trying. It's who doesn't stay down. You can't beat somebody that won't stay down. If the devil knocks you down 7,000 times, get up 7,001. If your mind is messing with you, get up. Wash your face off. Comb your hair, put on your nicest clothes, and face the world. Don't be obsessed with failure. This is a big one. Things that it's not as well is it's not comparison with others. I feel like a lot of times we look at self-awareness as, well, brother such and such or sister such and such lives this way, or Mama Kennedy does this. Don't compare yourself with Mama Kennedy, okay? God has called you specifically to do specific things. He's called you to a certain relationship. You don't have to compare yourself to others. Don't do that. That's not self-awareness. That's being aware of others, not aware of yourself. Biblical self-awareness focuses inward before it focuses outward. You have to fix your heart before the outward appearance. If you get your heart right with God and you have self-awareness of your heart, it will show outwardly. Have you ever been around people that you're just like, there's just something different about it? Y'all going to hear this twice today. All right, I'm about to say something. I'm about to tell y'all a story. You're going to hear it twice because I'm going to say it in the service today too. So y'all, amen, like this is the first. This, okay, y'all act like you heard it. Just shout. Who, Brother Monty, take off running. Thursday, we had three guests at Celebrate Recovery, okay? And we have, well, we actually had four, but there was three women that came together. And we have dinner at our Celebrate Recovery at 5:30. And they were walking, we walk after dinner at 6:30, we walk through the sanctuary to the prayer chapel for our Celebrate Recovery. And as we're to the front, and I was behind them a ways, as they're to the front, the one woman stops kind of close to the altar. She just stops. And she looks at the other woman and she goes, "Do you feel that?" And the other woman said, "Yes." She said, "There's something in this church that's different." Do you want me to tell you what that is? That is us keeping our hearts right. She felt peace. She felt God. This place will change your heart if you'll allow it. God will change your heart. This is in our church. Having a self-awareness about who we are as Pentecostal apostolics is in our church. It comes with peace. You can come with all kinds of craziness in your life, but when you step into these doors, there's a peace. But self-awareness is not just what I did, but why did I do it? If we make a mistake, why did I do that? I do some stupid stuff. I do some stupid stuff. But why did I do it? If I made a mistake, why did I do it? That's self-awareness. If I sinned, why did I just sin? If I had that thought, why did I have that thought? What is causing that? Recovery. But there's triggers in our lives that causes us to go back, or the enemy tries to use it to have us go back to the way we were. I woke up the other morning. I don't know what's wrong with me. I woke up the other morning and I'm getting ready. How many has you have a pattern in the morning and you can't mess that pattern up? Because if you mess that pattern up, your hair's all messed up. You didn't comb your hair. Your shirt's unbuttoned wrong. Like everything's goofy, right? And so I mess my pattern up somehow, and I go into the bathroom, and I go to grab my razor to brush my teeth. Yeah. Why did I do that? Because my pattern was off. We need to have a pattern of prayer, of fasting, of reading God's word. Because if we do that, we will ask, why did I do that? That's self-awareness of our hearts. I've been in Pentecost my whole life, and I've seen people that look Pentecostal. They act it. They're as far as when they're around other ministers and stuff, but then they'll get away and they'll gossip about other people. Just because you look a certain way doesn't mean you are a certain way. You can look as holy as anybody, but it doesn't matter if you don't self-examine your heart. When the Bible says that God looks at the inside, what the Bible is speaking of, if we are going to be true Christians, then it comes down to really self-examination and realizing that we have to check ourselves constantly, daily, hourly, sometimes every minute, because you might be in an environment that you have to really self-examine. I love David. David's one of my favorite people in the Bible, because he understood this completely. He's one of my favorite, just favorite characters. He gets it. He got it. There was something different about him. Was he perfect? No. He had major mistakes, major sins. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He was depressed. He had all kinds of issues in his life. But then in Psalms 51, after his sin with Bathsheba, he demonstrates repentance. He didn't blame circumstances. He acknowledged his heart condition. He was self-aware. Most of us pray, God bless me, God help me, God fix them. Does that sound, God, they're the problem. Not me, but they're the problem. But David prayed, God, examine me. Search me because of things I do that I need to be aware of. That's how David prayed. That's how we need to be self-aware. That's how we need to examine ourselves, is we need to pray, look at me, God. It's not about others, it's about me. That takes humility. You don't pray that unless you genuinely want to grow. We need to get that in our spirits, is God, look at me. Examine, fix me. It's not about the world. Our world's crazy. And we can talk about how it's broken a million different ways. But look at me. How am I broken? What do I need to change about me? Make me self-aware of my heart and being right with you. That's biblical self-awareness, is recognizing the root. So I asked my buddy. Brother Eves is phenomenal. Brother Eves and me talk Bible. And I had a question for him. And I'm going to let him talk for a little bit, because I want him to explain this to y'all. I ask this. If David was a man after God's own heart, why did he sin? Have you ever thought about that? That's good. Have you ever thought about that? Brother Eves, tell me what you told me.
So David was a man after God's own heart, because when he asked for self-examination, he had an opportunity to take over leadership. He had an opportunity to kill the one before him, and nobody would have blamed him because he was the anointed next king. Yet David slips into the cave where Saul is, and he only cuts the end of his tallit, his prayer shawl. And he showed that to Saul, saying, hey, look at what I've done. I could have taken your life, but I didn't do it. And through his self-examination, even though he sinned, he knew who his shepherd was. He knew who to turn back to when he fell. Through David's turning around, Bathsheba becomes a part of Jesus' own lineage.
Mm.
She was the wife that was forbidden. But this shows you how deep the forgiveness of God is if we truly follow through the forgiveness that God allows. If God could forgive David for a murderous, adulterous relationship and have the Savior of the world born from that, there's nothing that you can't, or that you can do, that God won't overcome it for you.
Think about that. That's why self-awareness is so important. The core difference between Saul and David is, if you look at both Saul and David, both sinned. Both of them sinned. Both of them failed. Both had pressure like crazy upon them. But Saul's pattern was to protect his image, to justify his sin, to grow defensive, to drift. Saul could talk himself into believing himself. But David's pattern was to feel conviction. He was self-aware. To feel conviction, to confess quickly when he knew he messed up. To seek restoration. To return to worship. You know, the enemy tries to say, well, don't go up, don't raise your hands. No, 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 don't do that. You're not worthy to raise your hands. Oh, we need to be self-aware of what Brother Eves just said. If God forgives, he forgives. You know, it's the enemy trying to hold your sin over your head. God says, if he says, I forgive and forget, he says, what are you not raising your hands for? He forgave you. We take it upon ourselves because we're flesh and we sometimes struggle to forgive. Hello, somebody. But God doesn't play that game. God's not a game. He's not a God of games. When you say, God, I'm sorry, he says, forgiven. So David got back to worship. He understood that. I got to thank him for this. I got to worship him for being such a wonderful God. We need to get that into our self-awareness. We need to get that into our heart. Yes, we make mistakes, but we can be forgiven. But David's pattern, David could talk himself into believing God's a forgiver. And that was the difference between Saul's issue wasn't disobedience. It was pride mixed with insecurity. David's defining trait wasn't sinlessness. It was repentance and trusting in God. Behavior modification without heart examination produces temporary change. Heart transformation produces lasting change. You have to get this into y'all's crawl that your heart matters so much. It's everything. We have to guard it and protect it. Because if your heart's right, everything will line up with the Word of God. Barriers to honest self-examination. I'm trying to keep track of time, y'all. I'm trying my best. Pride. Well, I'm not as bad as others. Well, that might be the case. But sin is sin. A little white lie is the same as a full-out whatever. It's a sin is a sin. There was a story of a dedicated worship leader in her church, and she loved leading the congregation in praise and found joy in serving God through music. And this isn't Brother Cody, by the way, so y'all don't go acting like this is Brother Cody. And from the outside, the leader seemed like the perfect example of a faithful servant of God. But on the inside, she struggled with a hidden issue, which was pride. She didn't start with this struggle. In fact, when she first began serving, she often prayed, God, use me for your glory. That's how we need to be. God, use me for your glory. Not for my glory, for your glory. But as time went on, she began to enjoy the praise and the admiration she received from others, saying, you're so talented. Oh, we love what you're doing with the music. And people would tell her this, and she quietly began to crave this affirmation every service. And slowly her focus shifted from glorifying God to wanting to be seen as the best in the movement. And one Sunday during worship, this young lady realized something was off. Something wasn't working. The songs, they felt empty, and she felt distant from God. And after the service, her pastor asked her, how is your heart? Didn't ask her if she's sinning. How is your heart? Are you worshiping for God or the approval of others? His question hit her like a ton of bricks. She hadn't even realized how far her heart had drifted. I've said this many times, the devil will kill you with 1,000 small cuts just to get you to drift off course. And if you drift a little here, 100 miles up the road, you're way off course. Think of it. That night, this young lady prayed earnestly, asking God to forgive her pride, help her refocus her heart. And she felt God leading her to step away from the worship team for a season to realign her priorities. It wasn't easy. She felt exposed, vulnerable. But in that season of humility, this woman's relationship with God deepened. She learned to find her worth in Him and in Him alone, not for the applause of people. Our hearts can stray so easily, and we have to be honest, and we have to look at the barriers. Another one's busyness. We stay distracted to avoid reflection. We're all busy. It's piled on us. I feel like it's a ploy of the enemy to keep us busy. And it's a barrier of honest self. Well, I'm too busy to go to prayer meeting. I'm too busy to pray for 30 minutes. I'm too busy to pray. I'm too busy to read the Bible. I'm too busy to... We're such a busy society. That's why fast food restaurants are quadrillion-dollar industries, is because we're so busy. We're eating on the run. And fear of what God might reveal in your life. That's another barrier. Comparison, comparing ourselves to others instead of scriptures. What are some of the other barriers that could keep us from being dishonest with ourselves? I think I wrote that. What are some of the other barriers that could... Yeah, I wrote that wrong, y'all. Sorry. Sister Driggers, don't look at that. Give me some other barriors. Yes, sir?
It's kind of like, you know, I was thinking about Abraham, when he went to be good with his wife. He told Pharaoh, he said, yes, and this is my wife. That's my sister.
Right.
They tempted Pharaoh, but God had to speak to Pharaoh to say, judge her not, because if you do, you're going to die.
Yeah.
That's not his sister, it's his wife.
Right.
And you know, being afraid to really say the truth, this is my wife.
Mm. Saying the truth even when it's hard to do it.
Yeah.
Amen. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Having the wrong people at your table.
Ooh.
At your table, that's negative, negative, negative. and just cut down. We need somebody to lift up the church, lift up the people, pray for the ones that are doing wrong, to turn them from a goat pair to a wheat.
Come on, somebody. The wrong people at your table, huge, yes, sir?
Grace.
Barriers to honest self-examination. Grace. So good, Brother Driggers.
We've got to be careful what we feed ourselves.
Ooh.
Whether it's what we hear, what we see, or what we do with our actions. We've got to be careful what we feed ourselves. Guard ourselves.
That is so true. Now, I know we're all a little... We're not the youth in here, but I'm going to give you all an example. I'm just going to use music as an example, okay? Have you ever noticed that if somebody listens to certain type of music, they start becoming and looking like the music they're listening to? That's what he's talking about. And you might say, well, I'm Pentecostal, I listen to whatever, and look at me. But it's your heart. That's the barriers to giving you honest self-examination. It goes back to what I was saying. You can look however, but your heart. But if you let it, it will start to come in the outward. It will. I mean, I was talking to my wife and I said, if you look at kids that listen to the emo music, they have the black lipstick on, and you listen to somebody has rap, they have the pants down, and you get to see their underwear, and then, you know... You get the heavy metal has usually a heavy metal T-shirt and so on and so on and so on. They conform. What you feed yourself can be a barrier to being honest with yourself. We have to line up with the Word of God instead of how others think we should line up. That's why when you have somebody at your table, like Brother Monty said, it has to be somebody that's going to be honest to tell you, you're not doing right. And I've had people at my table tell me that. That's not the way you should do that. And you need to be willing to look and say, hey, I have a barrier that's stopping me from doing the right thing. I need to listen to this person speak into my life. They're not trying to line me up with their beliefs. They're lining me up with the Word of God. How to examine the heart biblically. Invite God to search you. Prayer before evaluation prevents self-righteousness. That's why we go back to what David said. Search me. Search me, O God. Renew in me. It's about me. It's about my heart. It's how to biblically look at myself and say, I know all the way back to Adam and Eve we've had issues. Because of this right here, because we're just walking pieces of dirt, right? Because of our flesh, we all have issues. So search me, God. Help me to be better. Help me to be in your will. Open the doors that are supposed to be open and close the doors that are supposed to be closed. Search me. Measure by Scripture, not feelings. Feelings fluctuate. Truth does not. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word reveals the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. How many has read the Bible and you're reading the Bible and you're like, when I read the Bible, I'm reading it and I'm trying to apply it to me. How many do that? Okay, you should. And so when I'm reading the Bible, have you ever just read something and go, ooh, ouch. Ouch, I'm doing that and I shouldn't be. How many has had that happen? What you're doing is you're examining your heart biblically. You're letting the Word of God speak to you in your heart. Respond with repentance, not shame. We've all messed up, and I've talked about this already. Conviction leads towards God, not away from Him. Condemnation tries to get you to go away from God. Conviction will lead you towards God. And this is the big one. Practice daily. How would we practice daily? Anybody?
Digging the Word every day.
Digging the Word every day.
Pray.
Absolutely. Worship. Every day. Say, well, I didn't do anything. Repent. Every day. Anybody else?
Repetition.
Make it a habit. Don't brush your teeth with the razor, y'all. When we're practicing daily awareness, we're asking, why did I react that way? What was I wanting at that moment? Did this, you remember the WWJD, what would Jesus do? We actually need to apply that in our lives. Does this reflect Christ? All right, I'm going to tell on myself. All right. I have issues, y'all. I know y'all know this already, but I have issues, especially when I get in my car. Oh, Lord, help me. Y'all don't look at me no different. Hey, I'm a Yankee. We drive fast everywhere, and some of y'all have heard stories that I like to drive fast. I do like to drive fast. I'm willing to get the ticket. It's on me. Okay. But there is something in me, and I have to pray all the time about this. I have to repent all the time. But there's something in me that when people go 40 miles an hour in the passing lane, that I do everything to hold on to my Holy Ghost. All right, well, I'm glad I'm not. Hey, listen, I'm glad I got people. Yeah. Ron's the one in the fast lane. But I'm not going to say I don't honk, because I do. And sometimes it's not a Jesus honk. It's not the beep, beep. You know, the Jesus honk, the beep, beep, the light's green. No, sometimes I lay up. And my wife, we work together, which I love, and she's always with me to keep me sane, which is hard to do in itself. And she'll go, now invite him to our church. But I mean, think about it, and I'll go, oh. Stacy, I'm going to drop you back off the house. Keep going throughout my day. But that's the truth, right? I mean, what if that person needed somebody right then? What if they were having an episode? And I'm over here blaring my horn like a big goofy Yankee trying to get them out of the fast lane. And they see me and they come to this church and I get at the platform and they're like, that's the dude that honked at me for 48 minutes. The result of an examined heart. When believers regularly examine their hearts, pride decreases. You quit thinking about you so much. Grace for others increase. Prayer becomes honest. Growth accelerates. Self-awareness leads into humility, and humility invites God's grace. God does not reveal our hearts to condemn, but to transform us. The safest place for our hearts to be exposed is in the presence of God. Do you want me to tell you why? Because He already knows. He already knows. What would be other results?
I was going to ask you, like, taking off your mask, like, shedding the mask, that you want others to perceive you as. Like, what would pretty much be who you are at church when you go back home and so on? Because I've tried to do that, like, oh, you know, when I was younger, especially, like, comparing myself to others. But you have to realize you're just being part of yourself and you're trying to be someone that you want.
That's so good. Take the mask off.
In reflection of what she just said, I've actually been the one that was wanting to blow my horn at somebody that was in the fast lane, only to follow them into our parking lot.
Hello, somebody.
And I didn't blow my horn, thank God.
All right, now I have conviction, and I'm up here searching my heart now. So, what are some other results of an examined heart?
Peace.
Ah, that's a good one. Peace.
Like, stuff doesn't bother you so much. Or you can recognize, like, triggers better and have peace about them.
Absolutely. And you know, so Sister Rebecca was talking. You know, we all wear masks. Mm-hmm. We really do. And she's so right. It's okay not to be okay. How many know that? How many know it's okay not to be okay? It's okay to sometimes come into this church with some things on your shoulder. This is the place where your family is going to pray with you and God is going to help you. This is where it happens. Having brothers is, you know, you have a huge support group. I don't even know how many we have in our church. 450, 500? I don't even know. You have a big family that will not judge you. And if they're going to judge you, come to me because I'm probably a lot more messed up than you ever will be. So come to me. I won't judge you. Pastor won't judge you. But I don't feel like our church is not a judgmental church. You cannot be okay in this place. But this is where you become okay. What are some other results of an examined heart? Yes, sir?
You know, it's been laying on my mind a lot that, you know, what Paul told him, study yourself and prove to God. I don't have to prove myself to somebody else. I got to stand before you for my own self. So I try to study, but that keeps coming back. Study, study. Somebody does me wrong or something like that.
That's so good. That's so good. Study, study, study. Study to show thyself approved. You know, and he talked about people hurting us. A result of an examined heart is when people hurt us, we don't instantly go at them. God never wastes a hurt if you allow it. What do you mean by that, Brother Branham? Well, what I mean by that is, and I was talking to Pastor just a little bit ago, if you will allow God, if somebody talks about you, somebody tries to hurt you, and it happens, you want me to tell you why? Because we're people. And people say church hurt. I don't believe in church hurt because the church is God. But people can hurt people in the church. Does that make sense? So if somebody says something to you, and people have said stuff to me, a result of an examined heart is not to lash out at them. A result of an examined heart is to go, what have I done to make them say that to me? What do I need to do? You know, forgiveness is an amazing thing. A result of an examined heart is forgiving somebody that maybe has done you wrong. That's a tough one. And sometimes people have done some really bad stuff to some of us. Does anybody have any other examples? It also says don't even come to him and pray. In other words, if you're not forgiving others, you can't even really truly examine your heart if you think about it. All right. Questions in open forum. And we only have about 4 minutes. Does anybody have anything to input on this or any questions? Yes, sir.
I have to do that, and when I do that, I start seeing the results from God. When I have hatred, bitterness, anger, I know it's time to fast. That's 1 minute to get out. If I don't fast and let the push the food back, it's just going to dwell in my heart and fester and get bigger, and then it's going to bleed into everything.
And see, that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost saying, it's time to look. It's time to look. It's time to start looking in your heart. It's time to start looking within yourself. Yes, ma'am.
So, I just had a brain fog.
You're supposed to know, Brother Driggers. Say it. Say it now. Can you not read her mind? What is wrong with you? Examine yourself.
No, thank you. So, we are our own worst enemies.
Yes.
Okay? So, our self is the problem. So, by examining our hearts, it helps us to accept humility. And that's hard to swallow sometimes, but that's what we need to get rid of ourselves. You know, is to be humble.
Yes, absolutely. Does anybody else have anything? Yes, ma'am.
Something that I've learned is with comparison. Just thinking about when Sister Leanne mentioned peace. There's something about when you can overcome comparing yourself to others, there's a freedom and a liberty in that. Like, you can let go of so much. It's really a major hindrance that we're not even aware of sometimes. But if you can stop comparing yourself to other people and just worry about pleasing him, there's such liberty in that.
Yes, ma'am. Just please him. Let's all pray and just ask God to help us in examining ourselves, to being self-aware in our heart. God, we love you. We magnify you. We thank you for loving us unconditionally with all our faults and failures.
Use us, God. Use us for your kingdom. Use us as vessels. We thank you for your love towards us, God. Help us, God, to examine ourselves daily, minute by minute. God, I want to be lined up with your word. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. Let's go have some good church. What do you say?